السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله، إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن، إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, it is always good to come back to Masjid al-Nur. Many, many memories, fond memories are revived. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to allow the legacy of our late Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi to live on. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this masjid and all the activities that are related to this masjid a means of perpetual reward for Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahab rahmatullah alayh. Nevertheless, in today's talk, I wish to discuss a very beautiful quality that we as believers, as Muslimin, need to develop within our life. And this is the quality of being optimistic, of being positive. The verse of the Quran Sharif which we have recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His servants by saying, قُلْ say, O Nabi of Allah, on my behalf, يَا عِبَادِي O my servants. This word abd, loosely translated as slave. We know in those days, slavery was in vogue. The person would purchase the slave and sell the slave. The slave would become the property of the master. It was not something that Islam had introduced. It was something that was common practice in society. And in fact, Islam had made an effort to eliminate slavery. Great rewards were attached to those who had freed their slaves. So we are in reality the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True slavery. I heard this incident from Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahab rahmatullah alayhi. On one occasion, Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, he went to the marketplace to purchase a slave. And it was said to him that a certain slave is very, very pious. You should try and purchase that slave. So he purchased the slave. And when he brought the slave home, he said that, what is your name? He said, oh my master, whatever name you give me, that will be my name. He said, okay, what kind of clothing would you like to wear? He said, oh master, whatever clothing you give me, I'll wear that clothing. He said, what type of food do you like to eat? He said, oh my master, whatever food you give me, I'm satisfied with that food. So Khaja Sahib rahmatullah alayhi asked him that, don't you have any desire of your own? He said, oh master, what does a slave have to do with desires? So Khaja Sahib rahmatullah alayhi freed the slave on this. He said that you have taught me what is slavery. That I am just giving you clothing, a place to stay, some, you know, food to eat. and you are prepared to sacrifice and submit every desire of yours to conform with my desire. And yet my Allah, my Rabb, who has given me every faculty that I have within my body, how ready am I to sacrifice my desires for Him? True slavery should have been that I am willing to sacrifice my desires and my inclinations in conformance to the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word, Ya ibadi, O my slaves. And then Allah ta'ala says, which slaves of mine? Alladheena asrafu ala anfusihim. Who have transgressed their souls. They have transgressed themselves. In other words, despite them being sinful, despite the fact that they have violated the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah still calls them His slaves and His servants. That is why, respected elders and brothers, we should be very cautious and careful. Today we are living in a society where we have become very judgmental of others. That the person is willing to point fingers and label others and pass judgments on others. Again, we will quote Hazrat Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. We are in his territory, alhamdulillah. I heard this from Hazrat himself. Okay, one person came. In fact, I knew the person himself. And this person basically, he had been sitting in the company for a while and he had some reservations. So he mentioned it to me as well, and then later he mentioned it to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. He said that, you know, there's one thing that is stopping me. Everything else, Maulana is, you know, he's so pious and his level is so high and I'm so inspired. But there's one thing that is stopping me. The Maulana is wearing his watch on the left hand. The watch is on the left hand. So I don't know, I just can't seem to stomach this. People have definitions of piety. The person says that a person must be pious if he's wearing a certain kind of a topi. Or the person must be pious if he's wearing a certain kind of a kurta. I mentioned last night in the majlis, in one location, that unfortunately today we are living in a time where people have confined piety to the external aspects. So long as the person comes in the masjid and he's in the first saf and he's wearing the kurta, topi and beard, it automatically means that he is a wali of Allah and a buzru. Whereas that is not the case. There's a lot more work that needs to be done. And sometimes there are some people who have worked on the internal self and perhaps the external self is maybe lacking in some ways. And the example that came to mind is sometimes the person builds a home and the outside of the home is exceptionally attractive. Beautiful paint, wonderful windows, lovely paving, beautiful garden outside. As you enter the home, you are immediately attracted. But the person doesn't have a kitchen inside, he's got no toilet, he's got no bathroom, he's got no furniture. So a person on the outside can easily be confused. He will take it for granted that if the outside is so beautiful, imagine how beautiful the inside must be. But that person who built the house knows that he still needs to enter the inside of the house. And the opposite is also the case. That sometimes the person hasn't worked on the external of the house. He hasn't painted the outside. He hasn't really worked on the garden. But internally he's got the toilet, he's got the furniture, he's got the kitchen, all of that is done. So we who are, alhamdulillah, wearing the white kurta, the white topi, and some have the white socks too, we must say to ourselves that, you know, this is the external side of things. I still need to work internally. And that person who I'm looking down upon, perhaps he's already worked on the inside. How often we find it? That the person externally, he doesn't look very pious. But when you interact with the person, you see the kindness, you see the generosity, you see the consideration, you see the love for humanity. You see that spirit to sacrifice for the sake of others. But yet externally, the person doesn't seem to be very pious. So unfortunately, we have confined and restricted our thoughts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are externally purified and internally purified. So this person said that, Maulana, you're wearing the watch on the left hand. So I remember clearly, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said, after talking to this person, he had a bond on the house and he was paying interest. So now Maulana made the statement He said that you are concerned about the fly that is sitting on the nose of someone, but you have forgotten the python that's wrapped around your own neck. That there's a python that's wrapped around the neck, your own neck, but that is of no concern. But that fly that is on somebody else's nose, that you're very irritated about, very concerned. He needs to change. Why is he not swatting that fly? Just dramatizing it a little. But this is how we have become. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that when we're pointing a finger at somebody else, remember that there are many more fingers pointing at ourselves. So nevertheless, Allah ta'ala has said that despite the fact that these servants of mine are committing sins, they are still my servants. Ya ibadi, my servants. And then Allah ta'ala says, La taqnatu bir rahmatillah. Do not lose hope. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the capacity to forgive all sins. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say in his dua, that Ya Allah, just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind. That is how vast the ocean of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this aspect of optimism and being positive, this is something that we as Muslimin and Mu'mineen should develop in our lives. We find ourselves today surrounded by negativity. The person is worried about, you know, the financial condition of the country, the stability of the country, and we hear negative information upon negative information upon negative information, and then the person starts looking at things negatively. Everything, because he's focusing on so much of negative, then even if there's something positive that comes before him, his mind automatically goes towards that which is negative. We need to change our mindset. As Muslimin and Mu'mineen, develop the quality of optimism within our lives. This does not mean, as a disclaimer, this does not mean that we must not be realistic. Of course, if there is a problem and an issue, a person will deal with that issue in a positive way, in an optimistic way. Then how can I resolve this? And inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives barakat in the time, we will mention some beautiful examples in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we find that, what are the reasons? Why should we as Muslimin develop this quality of optimism? One of the reasons that makes it very easy for us to be optimistic is that Islam in general, it gives us a futuristic vision of things. Allah Ta'ala says, you find that Allah Ta'ala constantly reminds us of the hereafter. That whatever you are doing in this world, think about the future. Think about the hereafter. That everything that you are doing in this world, there is a future for you. That one good deed that you do here, you will see the rewards in the hereafter. In the khutbah we hear the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ad-dunya khuliqat lakum wa antum khuliqtum lil-akhirah." That this world has been created for your benefit, but in reality you have been created for the akhirah. You are going to another world. There is a light-hearted story with regards to Behlul. Behlul was a wali of Allah who hid his piety in his simplistic approach. And sometimes he was humorous. So Harun Rashid kept him in his court, sometimes to have some humor. So on one occasion, Harun Rashid went to Behlul and he said, "Behlul, you know, I got this walking stick. And this walking stick is meant for the most foolish person on earth. If you find someone more foolish than yourself, then you can give it to that person. But for now, I think you should keep it." So Behlul, in a simple way, took that stick. After many months, Harun al-Rashid became very, very ill. And Behlul went to visit him. He said, "Oh, Amir, what is wrong with you?" He said, "You know, I think my time is up. My time is up and I'm going to be leaving." So he said, "Where are you leaving to?" He said, "I'm going to the next world." So he said, "How long are you going to the next world?" He said, "Oh, Behlul, the person who goes to the next world, he doesn't come back. He goes there, he goes forever." So he said, "Oh, Amir, what preparations have you made for that next world, that next journey?" So obviously in his humility, Harun al-Rashid said, "I haven't really made preparations." So he said, "Oh, Harun, you are that person. that when you undertake a journey, even if it's a short journey, you make elaborate preparations, you'll send a team ahead, you plan, you map things out, you have everything in order. And the longer the journey, the more elaborate the preparations. You are saying you are going forever and you're never coming back and you haven't made preparations. Actually, I think the stick should be given to you. The lesson in that is that, imagine, we make so much of preparation, the person is going for Umrah, he's going overseas for some work, he packs ahead, ticks all the boxes, he has a checklist, everything in order. And here, we are going to live in the Akhirah, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا abada, forever and ever and ever. How much of preparations have we made? May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to prepare every single day some preparation for the Akhirah, some activity that we do for the hereafter. This is my investment in the Akhirah. So Islam gives us a futuristic vision that even this challenge that you have, this difficulty that is facing you right now, that's making you feel pessimistic, that's making you feel negative. It's a beautiful hadith, the mafhum of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the person who had gone through the most challenges in this world, hardship upon hardship upon hardship, he will be entered into Jannah for a millisecond. And when he will be taken out, he will ask him, that how did you find the difficulty in this world? He will say, I don't know what you're talking about. What is difficulty? I don't know what is difficulty. In other words, as soon as a person will enter Jannah, all the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, the sorrow, the grief, the anguish will completely melt away. It will totally disappear. So when a person thinks about the future, about the Akhirah, then this gives the person lots of hope. And in relation to the Akhirah, our stay in this world is very, very short. One verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala discusses the dialogue between the people of Jannah. قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ. That how long did you stay in this world? Person will say, that I think we stayed a day, or perhaps part of the day. In other words, in relation to the Akhirah, the life of this world is nothing, absolutely nothing. So the person says to himself, that I am going through a little bit of hardships, but in relation to the Akhirah, this is absolutely nothing. The second reason why we as believers should be very optimistic is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that with every difficulty, every hardship, there will be ease. We know the famous ayah of the Quran, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. There is a grammatical discussion which we don't have time to go into, but the gist of it is that with every difficulty, Allah Ta'ala will send down two eases. There will be two eases for every difficulty. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That person who adopts the quality of taqwa and piety, Allah will create a way out for that individual. So when a person thinks about this, then it creates within the heart optimism, hope, that inshallah, though this difficulty is coming, this hardship is coming, but inshallah, ease will be coming very, very soon. Together with that, we as believers have been taught that when any condition comes upon us, we immediately react by expressing our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when some moment of prosperity came upon him, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. And when some moment of adversity came upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. That I praise Allah ta'ala in every condition. Whether that condition is positive, whether I am experiencing prosperity, or whether I am experiencing adversity, then too, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another reason why we as believers should be optimistic is that this was the trait of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That in the Nabi of Allah, you have a wonderful example. Study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion again, a person came to Hazrat Muayyanus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and he was going through depression. We were sitting in the office in the madrasa, and Maulana mentioned there were few that were seated there. Maulana said, "Ke bhai, you are going through this oppression, or depression rather. So what you do, keep a frame of the green dome in your home." Of course, this was advice given to that particular person at that moment. But look at the thought behind it. Hazrat Rahmatullah, he said that when you look at that green dome and you think about the great being that is lying beneath that green dome and the kind of hardships and adversity and challenges and mocking and jeering that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, when you think about those, then you will realize that what I am going through is absolutely nothing. It is nothing in comparison to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite that, despite the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through the greatest amount of hardships and trials and tribulations from the time he was born right till he had passed away, if there was anyone for whom a palace should have been built in the world, it should have been none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what was the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we study the life that despite all these hardship, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was highly optimistic. It is mentioned that in Makkah al-Mukarramah, whilst Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was planning and preparing to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making dua that, oh Allah, assist Islam by giving hidayah to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was optimistic. It is mentioned later on when Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, those who know Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was a great renowned warrior, and the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims had suffered great challenges because of the strategies and tactics of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. When he accepted Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to this effect that, O Khalid, I always had hope that you would accept Islam. I always had hope that your intelligence would overpower you and you would understand that Islam is the true religion. Finding in front, this proves the optimism of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the positive nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another incident that comes to mind, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was migrating from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah Sharif, that hijrah that was taking place, at his side Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq radiyallahu an, and they were being pursued by the enemies. There was a bounty that was placed on the noble head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu sought refuge in the ghar of Thawr. And it is mentioned that the enemies came right to the mouth of the cave. In some riwayat it is mentioned that had they bent down, they would have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. At that time, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu became very, very worried. He became very anxious. What was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Despite the fact that the enemy was right outside the door, he said, "La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana." Do not grieve. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. Do not grieve. This proves the optimistic nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa taala grant us a degree of optimism in our lives. Similarly, we find, respected elders and brothers, even if we think about this logically, the person who is optimistic, the person who is an optimist, he's positive by nature, he will become an achiever. You know, there is a wonderful saying. They say that a pessimist will find difficulty in every opportunity. The pessimist will find difficulty in every opportunity. And on the contrary, the optimist will find an opportunity in every difficulty. That challenge has come forward, but I can turn this challenge into something that will be very beneficial for me. It'll make me a stronger person. It'll make me a more intelligent person. It'll allow my business to go in a different direction. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality of optimism. Now the question is, respected elders and brothers, how do we develop this quality of optimism in our life? That is the important aspect. So simple things that we can do is that focus on the solution instead of the problem itself. A problem has come. Now if the person sits and cries over the problem and doesn't apply himself, he will not be able to find a solution. Another beautiful way of developing this quality of optimism is that keep your eye on the bigger picture. Be creative. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The enemy was surrounding Madinatul Munawwara, all sides. And it was a coalition of forces. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought the counsel of the Sahaba ikram. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu presented this particular strategy that was used in the Persian Empire. You know, some people say we must discard the way of the West, and they have a misunderstanding of this. that everything that comes out from the West, it must be discarded. It is a misunderstanding. If that was the case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have considered the way of the Persians. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that the digging of a boundary and the digging of a trench around Medina Sharif is a wonderful idea. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implemented it. Look at the creativity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when there is a challenge, be creative. Another way we can develop the quality of optimism, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have a level of tawakkul in Allah, that I have done what is within my capacity. I have exerted myself, and now I place my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will bring a certain kind of optimism within the heart. I give you a logical example. A person has a major court case ahead, and he hires a very efficient lawyer. And now he hands over everything to that, and the lawyer says, don't worry, I'll sort it out. How do we feel? The person feels optimistic. No, inshallah, we've given it to the right person. Is there anyone more capable than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there anyone more efficient than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hence, if we have handed our matter over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, Allah is sufficient for that person. Another thing, respected Allahs and brothers, when there is a challenging situation, counter that, and when I say challenging situation, when someone has presented bad character to you, the person has been harsh, has been hard, this is challenging. How do we counter it? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Counter that evil with that which is good. That will create a way out for you. And Allah Ta'ala further says that there is great hope that that animosity that is between the two of you, inshallah, it will turn into a wonderful relationship. As they always say, always try to take the moral high ground. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, our time has expired. But in the long short of it all, is that we as believers should try and develop this quality of optimism in our lives. Islam is replete, there's repetition with regards to being optimistic, with regards to having good opinions in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will terminate on this year, wherein Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَ عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي, that Allah deals with his servant in relation to the good opinion that the servant has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should even be optimistic in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this quality of optimism, of being positive. And may Allah ta'ala protect us from negative feelings, from depression. May Allah ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil.